Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are present here in this room, in the living room, in the den, on the deck, at the camp, wherever we're sitting down for this moment. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would push through our distractions, the masks that come between us, that cause us to withdraw and shut down, the distractions in our home. Lord, would you meet with us today? Would you use these minutes, these moments, to impact us for all of eternity? And Lord, we pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen. For years, Susan and I have been walking in our neighborhood. We've got a little route that we walk. We walk it many days a week, 7 days a week. So we walk, regularly. And when the pandemic hit and when the lockdown happened, our neighborhood, like your neighborhood, probably started seeing a lot more physical activity. And so there's all kinds of, and there's people we see and we talk to, or, we greet or whatever. And so there's just been dozens and dozens out there. But over the months, there's three folks who have really stood out to me as I've walked and watched. And one of them in particular is a guy that somewhere over the course of this decided to take up running. And you may have had those in your neighborhood. And when I saw him, it made me feel good about myself. Because if I stood next to him, he made me look really skinny. and I could actually walk faster than he was running. And he was struggling to breathe because he was doing, but I've watched him. And the months and the weeks have rolled by. I saw him yesterday morning. And now, man, he you can tell he's running a lot farther than he did before. I no longer want to stand next to him because now I make him look skinny. He's running faster, harder, smoother, everything. It's just amazing to watch. And the same is true for a couple of women that I've watched over the last several months running. Months have gone by, and it has changed them dramatically. And it's amazing to see the transformation in this individual man as well as some of the other folks in the neighborhood. And what I want you to do this morning is to lock that picture in your head for a few minutes. I want you to lock into your mind this picture of someone who's unable to run, who takes up running, and then is able to run. Because it all happened through practice and through training in little bits every day. Lock that picture into your mind, because anything in your life, and I'm not talking about your circumstances, I'm talking about you, anything can change if we're willing to enter into training, to practice. If we're willing to train, like this guy in my neighborhood, we can actually get better at whatever it is we need to work on. And that's going to be the fourth stone we're going to add to our pile this morning, okay, or to our little monument here. We're in the middle of this series on Remember This, and we started this whole thing off with this stone to remember that God is for us. He is for us. That's why Jesus came. He loves you. He is good. He is for you, not against you, and he is at work in your life. And we added to that idea that not only is God for you, he is forming you, transforming you. He is shaping you into the image of Christ. Last week we added to that the way he is doing that is that he is in us, right? That God has taken up residence within us. He, the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit live within us. And our task is to position the sails of our lives in such a way to catch the wind, to catch the movement of the Spirit to transform us. And so because God is for you, he lives in you to form you. And quite often the forming takes place in the wilderness, in the limbo, in the storm. And this morning, what we want to add to that, really very simply, is that not only is God for you, not only is he in you, not only is he forming you, it all happens through training. Our part, we have a part in this transformation. We have to position the sails of our lives in order to open ourselves up to the wind of the Spirit. We talked about these windows of grace, how we're all formed up a little different last week. And so our part is to position ourselves and to train ourselves. Because through training, anything can change. And so this morning, I want to talk a little bit about this whole difference between training versus trying. You know, if I had to come to my neighbor months ago and said, hey, look, I want you to run for an hour. No matter how motivated he was, he probably wasn't going to be able to do it. But if I were to say, look, I want you to train for months, then he could do it. And so training, let me give you a definition of training, okay? We're going to put it on your screen at home up here for you to take a look at. And here's how I'm defining training this morning, okay? It is arranging my life around practices that will enable me to do in the future what I cannot do in the present through willpower alone. Okay, you with me on that? Training is simply some practices I enter into today that if I will continue down the course of these practices, in the future, I'm going to be able to do the very thing I want to do today that I'm not yet able to do. Isn't that what Ann Yeager just told us in her testimony? Did you hear how she talked about structuring her life around a series of habits, of practices, of what she listened to, what she thought about, what she focused on, which enabled her to live a healthy life in spite of her disorder? That's just training. It's what my neighbor has done, where he has trained himself and he's practiced to be able to run further and farther. See, what happens to us, to you and I, when we hear some message or we get motivated about something and somebody says, hey, look, don't worry, or live a generous life, or love your family well, or pray more, whatever it is, whatever that is that we want to change in our lives, what we do is we go home and try to live out a Nike moment. I'm just going to go home and do it. Today, I'm done worrying. Today, I'm going to be generous with everything. And we crash on those rocks. We have great motives. We think we can just suck it up and make it happen. But real life change happens through training. It's arranging my life around a handful of practices that begin to work on you and transform you bit by bit, step by step, so that in the future, you'll be able to do the very thing you want to do. You can become a person that does not worry as much. You can become way less of a worrier, way more generous, way more loving to your kids and spouse. But not by going home and saying, that's it, no more. Today I'm loving them forever and ever. But if you'll put practices in place day by day by day by day by day, it will move you from a worrier to somebody who lives at peace and is trusting. From somebody who is selfish to somebody who is generous. From somebody who is frustrated with their spouse all the time, who is able to be patient with them. It's a matter of practices. The foundational series, this bottom foundational rock that we've talked about, is that God is for us. Almost everybody in this room, everybody on the video, most of us are going to buy that concept intellectually. But how many of us struggle under the pressure of life to live that out on a daily basis, to really allow it to shape and become kind of the core driver of our lives? If you're like me, that has been a struggle in my life, to really buy, to live with confidence every day that God is for me. So what I've done over years is put practices into place. Some of them I've shared with you guys, like reading Psalm 23 in the morning and in the evening. It shapes and reworks my mind. It's just a training mechanism to see that God is for me. You know, I've put prompts on my phone. I have one right now. At 9:00, as we're standing here kicking off the service, my watch kicks in with a simple phrase, God is for me. Every morning, early in the morning, I need to be reminded that God is for me. It's shaped the books I read because I want to make sure that I'm feeding that all the time, because the gravitational pull is away from that thought. It's all about training, taking steps, small steps, that can become other steps that reshape how you are. Aristotle says, well, we are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit. It's changing. So anyway, grab your Bibles here at home. Turn over to 1 Timothy 4. I really want to give us some hope of both the power of and how to train our lives a little bit. And there are a ton of passages we could have gone to. We're going to go to 1 Timothy 4. And we're going to look at verse 8. And we'll bounce around a few other verses, but really just a handful of verses we're going to focus on to start with. And because Paul talks about this. Look what he says in verse 8. He says, for physical training, learning how to run a marathon, lift weights, whatever it may be. And by the way, you read the New Testament, you read the writings of Paul especially, what you're going to discover is one athletic metaphor after another. Paul was a sports fan. He was in Corinth when the Isthmian Games were just like there's the Olympics and then the Isthmian Games. He was in Corinth when all these things were going on. So he obviously studied how athletes trained and applied that to the Scripture. So as you read his letters over and over, he's going to be grabbing sports metaphors all the time. And so here's what he says in this one. For physical training, hey, that's really good. It's of some value, he says. But godliness, training for godliness, has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying. This is really an important idea, that training for godliness is important. And it deserves for you to fully accept it. It'll change your life. And that's why we labor and strive. I mean, we train hard because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe it. So he says, God is for you. He's at work. Your part is to do some training. All right, so let me give you some principles for effective training. I'm going to walk you through three or four pretty quick, and then we'll dive into some how-tos, okay? And that flow out of the past. The first is this. The payoff for training. You got to ask yourself, why should I even bother doing this? The payoff, Paul says, is fitness now and forever. See, this kind of answers what is this going to do for me? Why should I even take these steps? Why should I try to work on this stuff? What am I going to get out of this deal? It's that kind of physical training. Yeah, it's got some value to it. Yeah, we should all be training physically. Staying healthy, get a little cardio, doing this stuff. But you want real value in your life, he says. It's when you train who you are to become increasingly like Christ. So what does it do for you? Look down a little bit further into verse 12. And look at what Paul writes. We'll skip over a couple of verses and get. He says this. He says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in five areas, in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Here are the five payoffs. You want to know what training for godliness will do for you? First thing he says, it's going to change how you talk. It's going to change your speech. Look, here at home, think about the last couple of days. Let's just take Friday and Saturday. How many of you in here and at home, you don't have to raise your hand, have something that you wish you said that you wish you could take back? Anybody? Anybody in here got a little something they said and they're going, oh, I wish I hadn't said that? And anybody got something that they didn't say that they wish they'd spoken into in the moment? What Paul is saying is when you begin to train yourself for godliness, it changes your speech patterns. It changes what comes out of your mouth. What comes out of your mouth is the greatest reflection of what your heart is. And look, if this was the only payoff for training in godliness, wouldn't it be worth it? Oh my gosh, it would cut down a whole ton on what I have to apologize for. But he also said you become an exception in conduct. It changes what you do, how you live that out on a daily basis. It changes how you love, he says. That because, again, everything flows out of this heart of love. And so we have, it's getting our eyes off ourselves, beginning to serve other people and loving them well. It changes our faithfulness so that we are way more dependable. We keep our promises. We don't promise our kids stuff that we don't actually do. And then he says, it's we become an example of purity. Impurity, what he means by that is internal integrity. That we live consistently with what he says. We're going to talk about training. What's the payoff? Why should you even care? My goodness, it's going to change how you talk. It's going to change what you do. It's going to change how you love. It's going to change your faithfulness. And it's going to change your internal integrity. Okay, that's the payoff. So what's the motivation? It's the desire to become like Jesus. I mean, in the end, that's what he's telling us. It's the desire. It's that you look at the life of Jesus and go, man, I would love to be like Jesus. Whose speech, conduct, faithfulness, character, all of these things were overwhelming. Back in the first few verses of this chapter, Paul's drawing a distinction between somebody who follows Christ and somebody who doesn't. The people who follow Christ live from out of this foundation of God is for us, God is in me. It is a living relationship with God where God is pouring out of me. But he says there's another group of people who are trying to live their life by on a base of rules. That they've got all of these rules over how they live life, and they're trying to make sure they check every box and do everything just so, and they're rule-based. And whenever it's rule-based, it's almost always don't do this and don't do that. And so he talks about them in verse 3. He says they forbid people to marry. Boy, that's a confusing thing. Nobody's getting married. You want to love God? No marries. No marriage, right? Then he says, and they tell him to abstain from certain food. And he goes, and which is crazy because it's God's food God created. God created is good, and nothing to be as rejected, received with thanksgiving. And so their whole outlook is, and you didn't see this with Jesus because they kept trying to shove him into a box of rules. He wouldn't go there. And in my mind, they turn God into what I always think of as the diet God, right? You know what the diet God is? Well, what is a diet? If you like it, spit it out, right? If it tastes good, it's bad for you. So like you like an apple pie? Uh-uh, get rid of the apple pie. You like a little bacon with your breakfast? No, throw the bacon away. You want coffee with creamer? None for you today. You want a baked potato? Uh-uh. And the whole idea of everything, there's only quinoa is the only thing good for you, right? And so that just stinks. So, but anything that really has flavor is bad for you. And so it's this whole idea that of a God who is for you saying, oh, did you enjoy that? Then I'm against it. Are you having a good time? Then you got to stop it. Right? And he says, no, God is a God who gives graciously. You see it in Jesus where he lives with joy and freedom. And godliness is not about rules. It's about a relationship with the living God. Which leads me to the third principle for training as we kind of move through. And it's the responsibility for training. It's my decision. Look back at verse 7. See how this thing starts? Train yourself. You have to choose to train yourself. Your training is your responsibility. What you become, who you become, is your responsibility. God is at work. He's for you. He is forming you. He is at work in you. He lives in you to change you. But you don't just lay around like a raft and wait for God to go to work. No, you've got to set the sails. You have work to do. There is training that is your responsibility. He says, you have to train yourself. It's your whatever you become is ultimately on your shoulders. Did you set your sails? Did you train yourself? Did you put habits in place? If you stay as you are, it simply means you're unwilling to put new habits into place to take steps. Years ago, one of the great basketball coaches, Bobby Knight, said this. He says, the will to succeed, the desire to succeed is important. But I'll tell you what's more important. It's the will to prepare, to practice. It's the will to go out there every day training and building those muscles and sharpening those skills. Right? And it's up to us. And it's all about self-leadership. No one, listen to me, men and women, no one drifts into godliness or success in any arena of life. No one drifts into no longer being a worrier. No one drifts into loving their spouse well. No one drifts into becoming humble instead of arrogant. No one drifts into having joy instead of anger. They're practices we put into place that allow us to become what we long to become. And as we look at this, train yourself for godliness. I think Paul is saying two things for us. You know, first is what I've just been saying, is that I have to take responsibility for my life. I can't blame anyone or anything about where my life is. Chuck Swindoll always said that 10% of life is what happens to you. 90% of life is your attitude towards what's happened to you. You know, and it's easy. Right now, in this whole COVID pandemic, mask-wearing insanity, it's easy to blame the world for where we are. And one of my practices, one of my trainings over the years has simply been to do this, and I've told dozens of people, kind of may have talked to you about this, is to own my choices. See, it's easy to drift into this victim mode. Well, I can't, what can I do? But you are, where you are today, you have chosen to be. It's hard for us to buy into that. How you spend your time today is ultimately your choice. And you can say all day long, well, I have to do this. No, you don't. You could choose to walk away from it. So maybe you've chosen, you know what, I'm going to be responsible. Part of who I want to be is responsible, so I am going to do this, but you chose to be responsible. You hate your job? You're choosing to stay at your job. You don't have to be there. You can walk away. Even in this COVID moment, you are not helpless. You are deciding every day what you're going to do with your day, to either stay home or to go out, to wear a mask, to not wear a mask. And it frees you up when you finally can just say, this is my choice. I am choosing to stay home. I am choosing to go to work. I am choosing to go out. I am owning the choices. I mean, that's what Paul is saying. You got to own your life. And if you don't like where your life is, it's on you to put some practices in place to change where it is. But there's a second thing he's saying here. Is you got to train according to yourself. Train yourself. That we talked about windows of grace last week. You got to know what they are. You need to know your personality. You got to know how you work. And then you train according to who you are. You know, I was watching a golf tournament a while back, and there were two guys who were tied. They're going into Saturday or Sunday now, but it was going into a critical part of the golf tournament. These two friends were tied. And they were staying in the same house. And most days they would ride back and forth to the course together, right? And they interviewed one of them and they said, well, we're teeing off together at the same time tomorrow, but we will not ride together tomorrow. And they said, oh, is it because there's competition? They said, no. And one of the guys said, we just warm up differently. We have different habits on how we prepare. And we're going to train ourselves according to ourselves and not try to fit into somebody else's deal. You know, you've got to figure out who you are, how God wired you up, what's going on in your life in this season of life. Don't try to train like somebody else. You got to train like you and be okay with that because God made you the way you are. So really, with all of this great payoff and motivation, all this stuff, why do we resist training? That's really the question we've got to ask. Where does our resistance to training come from? And it comes because I am a creature of my current habits. The truth is, you are where you are today because you are somewhat comfortable with where you are today. And wherever you are today is somehow working for you, even if you don't like it. And so there's this inertia. We get home, we get in the Barca lounger, and it's hard to get up and change anything. We get used. Look, our dog Giardelli passed away about a year ago, and she loved to play fetch. We'd have tennis balls, and we'd throw them all day long into the backyard. And she would go for an hour, go in and get a drink of water, and do another hour. She was relentless. She would run literally till she would almost just about fall over. So in our backyard, when you're throwing the ball, we got about a 90-degree, about a baseball diamond area that you can throw into, right? You can kind of throw here. And it was fascinating to watch her, because wherever I would throw the ball, she would get the ball and then run back over to a little place just slightly off center. And then she would come back down that little spot. She would run to the ball, but instead of turning and running straight back, she would get the ball, run to the middle, and come back down over here. And over the years, she wore a little path right here where she would return all of the time. It was her little rut. The people who are studying our brains these days say that we have neural pathways. We have these neural ruts in our mind. And our minds are comfortable going back and forth in this place. And it becomes a mental rut of how we function and think. And it takes incredible energy and exercise to create a new rut, to create a new pathway. It takes practice. It takes all kinds. Training is arranging my life around some practices of mind, heart, action that enable me to do in the future what I cannot do today. It's creating a new path of how I think and how I live and how I act. But we resist that because we're comfortable with the mental, emotional, physical ruts that we are in. We kind of like it that way. And frankly, our un-Christ-likeness areas don't want to change into a Christ-like area. And so it resists even the beginning of steps. Jesus talked about this. There's a famous kind of series of sayings, and you probably have heard him say this, that heard somebody refer to this, that no one puts new wine into an old wineskin. You have heard Jesus say this before? You never put new wine in an old wineskin. And he explains it. He says, because otherwise the new wine, as it ferments and expands, will burst the skin, and the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. And so says, no, new wine must be poured into the wineskins. And we all kind of know that part of the story. But Luke adds one little phrase that we normally pass over. Because Jesus says this, and Luke records it. And no one, after drinking old wine, wants the new wine, for they say the old is better. When Jesus is talking about this new wine, he's talking about a whole new way of living. And what he says is, normally with people, we don't want anything new. We just want to stay where we are and whine. We mostly want to complain about where we are, not change where we are. Or we want God to change our circumstances but leave us alone. Or maybe God, we kind of want God to change this little thing over here but leave most of me alone. And that's why Paul says you got to train yourself in godliness. These places that you are unlike Christ, that God is working to form in you in limbo, you got to do your part and take some steps to train. So let me give you four quick steps, because really, this is really about taking next steps. Okay? And the first thing is this. Keep it manageable. Keep it manageable. Inevitably, we try to do everything at once. If you decide you're going to get into shape, you're going to join the gym and buy a bike and do push-ups and start running, and you're going to do all this stuff, and you're going to have this long list, and you're going to go, this is overwhelming, so you quit. Right? I mean, don't go crazy. Don't try to fix every area in your life at once. Don't try to do everything in that area all at once. As a staff, usually each season, we lay out what we call 4x4s. four things I can change over the next 4 months that will make a big difference in what I'm doing. And we evaluate 4x4s along the way. When the pandemic started and we were all at home, we had to change that really to like 4x7s. What are the four things we can do over the next 7 days? In times of disruption, you can only do so much. In times of chaos, and so the worst thing you can do is try to do 20 things. What is 1, 2, 3 things I can do this week to move the ball forward? What is one area God's working in your life? Is it being a worrier? Is it loving your spouse? Is it, you know, praying more? Is it, I mean, what is it? Is it just being more disciplined at home? Is it getting some mental control? What are 1, 2, or 3 things that you can start doing, practicing now, that you can put into place today that will make you a little bit different? And see, let me be really, what we really want is our needle is over here, right? I keep picking on worrier, I don't know why, but I'm a real worrier. What we want is I'm going to get 2 practices and I'm over here. This practice is going to move you here, and then here, and here. We're in the long game here. You're not going to fix yourself today, not even this week. You're in the long game here. You're planting seeds for trees that are going to bear fruit in years, not in days. You're not going to suddenly get in shape tomorrow because you started running today. In fact, if you start running today, you're going to be in pain tomorrow. And you're going to have to keep going back and creating space for, you know, you're going to have to place rest in there. Nobody who works out 7 days a week, the exact same thing. They plan some rest in here. All right, so that's the first thing, keep it manageable. Second thing is balance routine and variety. We're all wired up differently. Some of you in this room crave routine in every area. Some of you love variety in every area. If you try to do your whole spiritual life with only a routine, you're going to be frustrated or you're going to become mechanical. If it's all variety, you'll have no discipline. You'll just try to drift into the life change. It won't happen. And so you've got to have these 2 components. Some things are very routine. I have routines that have been in my life for years. Daily time with God, where I do some Bible reading, prayer journal reading. You know, I tend to always be reading some Christian book that's going to shape me in some form. I've stayed plugged into church. I practice some disciplines along the way. I have some friends that I connect with. It's all of those things. And over the years, they've just become a pathway, a rut that are healthy and that build into me. But there are also times where I'm kind of going, look, I'm not getting a ton out of reading God's Word this month. I'm going to read something different, right? Or I've changed how I do my prayer life or whatever it may be. And then I have kind of things that come and go. The last few years, I've been using these prompts. And so those things have a lot of variety. The things that pop up on my watch or my phone every day change all of the time because I need variety. And so you do too. Let me give you a third thought, and that is use trainers. Find someone who's a little farther down the journey in the area you want to change and have them coach you a little bit. What have you learned? How have you learned how to love your kids well? Right? How have you learned to manage your finances in a better way? You know, I have a spiritual director that I connect with once a quarter. I call him, or we Zoom, or we've gotten together face-to-face back in the time. And really, his whole plan, I know what it is, is going to be, okay, what is Jesus asking you to trust him with today? And I always forget that that's what's going on, and he reminds me, and it's like, okay, thank you. And I hope to do some more spiritual direction for others as time goes on. But the trainer. Fourth is have a workout partner. It's always better. You know, Susan and I have said many times, it takes one or the other of us every morning to say, let's start walking. You know, you just need some partner, some other brother, some other sister that you're connecting with. You know, in this season of life, my friend Tom in Houston, we talk every other week. We're both going through some huge, significant ministry changes. We were both youth pastors, and we were both pastors. We're both transitioning into a different ministry. And we talk every other week for accountability, encouragement, challenge, whatever it may be. And then finally, it's this. Expect ebb and flow. You don't grow in a straight line. You're going to be fired up and bored. You're going to be doing great and changing and not changing. And but you know, whatever your practices are, you're going to love them, you're going to hate them, whatever it may be, but don't expect it to always be great. You know, I love my wife, but not the same every day. Some days I'm just passionate. Some days it's like, hey, it's good to see you. I mean, that's just the way it is. Same way in spiritual growth. I here in this part of my life, in practices, this is where I live on I have many Pierce principles. One of my Pierce principles from Dan Pierce, my friend over here, when it comes to working out, is on your practices. Miss a day, don't miss a week. Miss a week, don't miss a month. Miss a month, don't miss a year. If you miss a year, don't miss a decade. If you can bat 75%, you're in the Hall of Fame, right? The real question today is what three steps, don't make it more than that, do you need to put into place to help you change one area of your life? Because God is for you, and he's forming you in limbo and in wilderness. He is in you, but you train yourself to position your sails to let him change you, all right? So what today do you need to do? All right, let's pray, you guys.